Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night of fellowship with you, Lord, and brothers and sisters in Christ. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that you have given us grace and mercy. And Lord, we understand of the times that we're in. We understand that the commands that you give are to be understood and obeyed. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have a good time in you. We're going to find new revelations. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for your grace upon all of us, Lord, in the times that we're in. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon everybody here tonight. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can overflow and affect the people around us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
Anybody got a prayer request or testimony? Or praise report. Well, I hope I didn't put a blanket over tonight's. Bless God. I did not know what I intended to do. Praise God. We came off our fast this morning. It was. Yeah, Barbara.
Go ahead and finish your sentence first.
What's that?
I was going to finish your sentence first. You were getting ready to say something about the fast.
Oh, no, that's okay. We just finished it this morning, had our milkshake. That's how we come off the fast, with a milkshake. Go ahead, Barbara.
I was just wanting to see if you all would pray for Bruce last night. He works evenings now at Walmart. Right? And last night I got a phone call saying that he passed out in the bathroom. And so they took him to the hospital, but he got a bad report. And I'm just asking y'all to, you know, believe with me that the bad report does not exist. I mean, he was healed at the cross, and he would just believe the truth that he was healed at the cross. And that he doesn't have what they're saying. He thought he had some kind of infection running through his face, from his sinus, his ears, and his throat. Well, they ran a CAT scan, and they're saying it's possible that it might be cancerous. So, what happened was, something caused his blood, whatever it is, this tumor or whatever they're saying this is that was in his side of his face, caused him to pass out lack of blood flowing through. Whatever that is, whatever had happened there. So anyways, just agree with me, please.
Yeah.
He will believe the gospel, really believe the gospel, that he was healed at the cross, and that we just renounce whatever it is they're telling him. This he's going to the doctors tomorrow to follow up, you know, and get a biopsy or whatever. But it doesn't matter what it is. We just renounce it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for healing him. And I thank you, Lord, for giving the true gospel that he would receive it, Lord, 100%. Thank you, Father, for the work that you are doing in Bruce. I know you are doing a work in him, Lord. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. We put our faith together with Barbara, and we thank it. We know it's done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to Bruce for not believing the gospel. We thank you, Father, for putting a hunger in his heart for the word of God and the truth, Lord. Yes. And that we come against that apathetic spirit in the name of Jesus about getting in the word. And we cast it off of him. We thank you, Lord, that his eyes have opened up, his ears have opened up. And we thank you, Lord, that the gospel, the true gospel, is going to go through, and he's going to come out of this on the right side with you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, I do.
I do too, sister. I believe so. Everybody believe with us? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. All right. You doing okay?
Yeah. I just this fasting really threw me for a loop, and I'm mourning that I didn't obey the Lord to the 100% full, with the putting water in my mouth when I shouldn't have.
Did you just put water in your mouth or did you drink it?
I sipped it. I didn't enjoy no full glass of nothing. And I know. It's terrible. I know. I did sip water. I have to be honest. I did sip water.
I feel okay.
Now.
Well, just tell the Lord you repent and ask him what he wants you to do. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hearing you. I heard you now when I just came in when I was hearing you talk about it. So, yeah, I need to press in on that.
Yep. Okay. You'd be okay. You just seek the Lord. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? I hear some talking. Do y'all hear some talking?
No. Hey, one of the things I couldn't do due to the fast, I took showers in the morning. I didn't go. I kind of like annoyed myself.
Well, praise God that you did. I mean, my goodness.
Because I was thinking, well, God, I felt like I'm taking care of my body, and I really shouldn't be, because it's like you're supposed to not do anything. I thought, well, I can't do that for work.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to bother me. But yeah. I thought,
No, that's, I took a couple of baths myself.
All right. I was thinking, I was hoping that wasn't falling under the anointing idea.
Well, it was some of it, but I didn't take a shower every night, and I took one, sporadically.
I figured all my work clothes are pretty blah anyway, so I wasn't dressed in colorful. So.
Well, this is the only colorful shirt. This one and another one's the only colorful shirt I got. I didn't wear it. But, it's a serious business. It really is when the Lord commands it. And it's for... I can't remember, but Eve had another dream about, it was on about the fourth or fifth day of the fast, of the angels going around in a classroom with all of the people in there doing this test, and they were taking notes of where our heart was with the Lord, and which would ascertain whether or not we passed the test or not, If there was a lot of darkness in our heart, we wouldn't pass the test. But if there was, light, because we were obeying the scriptures and doing what God told us to do, then, when you pass the test. God's not sitting up there with a ball bat ready to knock people out. He got a lot of grace. He told us on the last 2 days, he said, those that messed up, would do it for the next 2 days that he would show mercy on. That's the grace that God had. So, if somebody did mess up during the thing, just ask God, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to get rid of my flesh, and I want to sacrifice the flesh and so I can be with you, Lord, and get this Passover that he's promised us during this plague time. It's fixing to come up on us. So praise God. Just ask the Lord. He'd tell you. Amen. He's got a lot of grace. He's got more than I got. Praise God. That's a good thing too. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request or praise report or testimony? Hey, Malcolm.
Hi.
How's it going, Michael? Brother?
Well, fine, thank you. I was just thinking I was just thinking about the fasting. I think I think for some of us, I don't know, at least for me, it was a little bit shocking because I think we're a little bit distant from a lot of stuff that was happening in the Old Testament. There are some very severe commands and severe consequences that took place in a lot of the Old Testament. And I think a lot of us have grown up with kind of a Jesus that was, that is, or at least in our minds, is, it's all about love and, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, of course, are love, joy, peace, all these things. So, when you look at when Jesus first announced himself there, in the synagogue, he quoted Isaiah 61, I think it was, but then he, was it 60 or 61? 62. Now I'm getting confused. Anyway, he glossed over, or he just skipped over the part where he was that, you know, not vengeful, but the, you know, would be getting the nations in line type thing. And yet that is part of the prophecy regarding Jesus. So, and for us, now we're coming to that, that time when he is standing up as a warrior, and he's not just healing the sick now and doing all the things that he did when he was here for that 3.5 years. Now he's taking on this other role that he didn't display at that time, you know, a couple thousand years ago. So it maybe that's part of the adjustment that we need to consider, is that there's a time when God has to stand up and deal with stuff. So, and God's people need to be with him as in that transition. Well, I'll mute myself to make sure you can.
Your mic's off, Michael.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a good thing going too, Malcolm. Let's see. Well, the Lord wants obedience above anything else. He wants us to obey him when the time comes to obey him immediately. And he's showing us that he wants us to sacrifice our flesh to the world and to the things around us. And he's given us these commands to do that in order for us to show him that that's what we're doing. And that's what I think. And not only that, the rewards from doing those things are way outweigh all the negative parts of getting rid of the flesh, like fasting and things like, look, ain't nobody like fasting. I don't know of anybody that likes that. Somebody told one of the ladies here, said, because she's so skinny, they said, man, you need to fast from fasting. Well, I agree. I'd like to do that too. But when God tells you to do something and it's for the brethren and it's for yourself and it's for the whole worldwide church, he expects his people that are close to him to obey so that these things can be done. That's what happens when we fast and we pray. We pray, if you remember in the thing, it wanted us to pray the first 3 days for yourself and the people around you, to get yourself right, to repent and do all of the things that you're supposed to do. And then for us here locally was to pray for the body that we're in and our family members and that kind of thing. The last 4 days, now 3 days for us and 3 days for the local, and then the last 4 days was to be praying for the world chosen of God, and pray that God would bring them out of the apostate churches and bring them out of the dead religions. And that's what he wanted us to do. God works through us in our prayers. We, you know, everybody knows that. He works through our prayers. And if we're fasting and we're praying for that, mighty things happen in the spiritual realm that we can't see. Mighty things happen. And so that's why God tells us to do these things. I think there's two reasons. One, to go ahead and get this thing started. And two, to see if we're going to obey him. implicitly without questioning. Just go ahead and do it. And then once you do it and it's done, it's over with. And you understand that faith has been instilled in you, and you know that something's happening out there. I do. You know, that's what I'm thinking anyway. But that's why he's doing it now. He's never required me to do a 7-day fast without food and water. Not very many people that I know of has he ever done that to. There have been some that have done 75 days. The old boy from China over there did 75 days without food and water and was beaten during that period of time. And he did it. God brought him through it. And he's a worldwide evangelist, you know. Go ahead, Leon.
I was just going to say that if you remember in the Old Testament, when they would fast, they would wear sackcloth and ashes, mm-hmm. you know. And that's a lot different than what the Lord just asked us to do. He said, don't put on your colorful garments, just be plain. What a difference that is. That's a potato sack, a toe sack is what that sackcloth is. And it would rub on you and it would irritate you and so forth. And then you would have ashes. You would throw them up in the air and they would come down on you all over. And you stayed like that till the fast was over. One of the minor prophets has the Lord rebuking Israel because of the fast in the fifth month, and in the seventh month, they were fasting for themselves instead of for him, you know? So this was important to God because he wanted to see if we were going to do a fast to him or a fast to ourselves, you know? And the thing of it is, if you got any kind of question about anything, just go to the Lord, you know? You don't have to... I would never tell anybody what they should do because I took a couple of showers and, you know, I'm going to ask the Lord about that, you know, and, you know, I understand Dave has got to work and so forth and, Andrew has to work and things like that, you know, and, Tim has to work too, you know, so that's a whole different story than just me lounging around all day and stuff like that. So, but I'm going to seek the Lord on it anyway, just to see if he was pleased. Now, Eve also got another dream where she said there were six people in this fellowship that didn't do the fast properly. And she had three that she actually named, and she had no idea, you know, she just came up with the names right out of the clear blue sky, and it was actually right on, you know, and but anyway, we know there were six people, and if I wasn't one of those people contacted, then I can assume that I did it right. You know, that I'm assuming that the Lord is accepting my fast, but I'm still going to speak to him about it. Now, you can assume whatever you want to assume, but you might want to ask him, you know, just to cover the bases.
Amen. Oh. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there was five or six people, he said, five or six that...
Did Eve just come up with that from the Lord, or how'd she?
No, the Lord told her that. The Lord told her that there's five or six people.
Have her see if there's anybody from the outer greater UBM.
Said something about a guy named Dave. I don't remember his last name. I don't know. Dave. I'm out of here. here's the deal. Everybody, if you don't feel like you did what you're supposed to do, ask the Lord. He's the one that can tell you, you know. Poor old Eve, she gets all these dreams, and man, it's just, I'm telling you what, she's got her hands full. She's, you know, she's, what is interesting about Eve's dreams is they all have been right on. Been right on. This girl doesn't miss. The Lord hasn't missed with her, let me put it that way. And she's very diligent in writing down all the little details that go along with it. And I'm telling you, she's been right on the whole time I've known her, these last 6-7 years. Yeah, Leah.
Sandy is another one that's got good dreams. She's got excellent dreams. I don't understand why the Lord doesn't give me some of those dreams.
Well, have you asked him?
Yes, I have. But
well, you got to believe him. I'm just saying.
I believe him too. Okay. But he uses certain people in a exalted type of way, not to exalt them, but the use of them is exalted. And then I've had a couple of dreams, you know, but just a couple, you know, that were pertinent. And, you know, but I basically ask him every night to inhabit my dreams.
So. Here's what the Lord showed me about dreams. And I'm kind of lax in that area. The Lord will give me a dream. And I won't write it down. I'll just tell it, you know. He wants you to write it down and make sure you understand it, meditate on it, and do all of that. I don't do that. He uses me in another capacity. He uses you in another capacity. He uses everybody in a different capacity. Now, Eve and Sandy, they get Sandy. She gets Marlene over there, and she transcribes it for her because her eyes are all messed up. And first time I met Sandy, she'd tell me a dream. I said, "Oh, that's spiritual, man." When I go out way out in Twilight Zone trying to figure out something spiritual, that woman there, when she has a dream, it's actual. I found it out real quick. She has a dream that says so-and-so is going to have a wreck this day. You could put it on the paper, buddy, because it's going to happen. So that's the way she is. Now, Eve has both of them. She has natural, and she also has spiritual dreams. By natural, I mean she'll have a dream that something's going to happen to somebody, or we'll get a warning dream about something that's going to happen. And it'll happen, or she'll get a dream that's very spiritual. And then David and her get together, and they figure out what God's telling us. And, you know, I don't have that knack of looking at a dream and telling it what it actually means unless I sit there and study on it all day and all half the night, you know. The Lord hadn't made me like that. Now he gives me visions a lot. I see visions quite a bit, and other people. Some of y'all see visions quite a bit. Some of you have dreams as well. And see, every one of us got a different gift. Every one of us got a different gift. He chose Eve to have the dreams. He chose Sandy to have the dreams. He chose Merlin to have dreams. I think some other people, y'all might have dreams too. You know, so I don't know. I'm like Leon. I have a dream every now and then.
Yeah, me too. I'm like that. It's not a given. It's when it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Now, I tell you, I have asked the Lord, you know, give me a dream about this, Lord, so I'll understand it a little bit better. And, you know, just me, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. He probably thinks it. Well, listen, dummy, you need to understand that by me telling you what it is, you know. But sometimes he does, and so I praise God when he does, and I praise God when he don't. You know, I said, okay, well, Lord, you just handle it, and that's what I do. But I'm not a dreamer, never have been. So I'd like to be like Leon. I'd like to have these dreams, but I don't like the work that goes behind them. You know what I'm talking about? That's a lot of work goes behind it. Okay. Anybody else?
I guess you can, like, pray for me regarding the fast, because I wasn't as faithful to it. I went for 2-3 days and I stopped. And, you know, I would like to do it again and the right way.
Okay. That's you know, tell the Lord you want to do whatever he wants you to do and you want to start this out. And you say, Lord, you know, I tried the last time and I failed, but I'm going to trust you this time. I'm going to trust you, Lord, to bring me through this fast because I want to sacrifice my flesh for you, Father. And I want to pray for the people around me. I want to pray and have my prayers answered for the people out in the world. You know, whatever, you know.
Right.
That we had people starting just a couple of days ago the week fast again because they had messed up on it. And the Lord is blessing them. So go for it, girl. Any questions?
I guess you can pray just that I have the willingness to do it, the power of God, and, you know, don't make excuses or condemn myself or, you know, stuff like that.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just lift up Pearl to you, Lord, and we thank you for the heart that you've given her to want to do and to follow through with this fast that you've go put her on, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless her during this whole fast, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to take her by the hand. You're going to lead her through it. He said, Lord told us in that dream, he said, you don't think I can't sustain you through a 7-day fast of water and food? He said, I made you, you know. I made you. If I made you, I can do this. I can bring you through it. What he wants most of all is to get rid of the flesh. For us to do, be obedient to and get rid of the flesh. Pearl, and with your heart like that, he'll bring you through it, girl. He'll bring you through it.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say for me personally that the 7-day fast was hard. I don't know why, but it was really hard. But I got through it. And I, towards the end, I was really, you know, trying to suck in a lot of water, spit it out, and gargle it. Just, you know, because that wetness, I just needed wetness bad. But this, now I'm on this 4-day fast, and it doesn't seem like it's anything.
Yeah.
The first 2 days on a 7-day fast, man, I remember that second day was hard. I'm on my second day on this one, and it's nothing. I don't understand it. It's like, that first 7-day fast seemed like that was a breaker. That was a breaker for the flesh. That was really a tough one. But now fasting, it just doesn't seem to be a big deal. I don't know. I'm trying to understand that one. But maybe it's because we've got there's a breakthrough of some type here. I don't know.
Well, it's because the Lord told us. He said, what you're doing now is sacrificing for the brothers, just like I sacrificed for y'all on the cross. Y'all are sacrificing for the brothers and sisters. Now, That didn't do it right, you know. That's what we did for that 3-day fast. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was going to say I had absolutely no problem with food on the 7-day. I never even got hungry at all. I didn't have any problem at all. I did get thirsty around the 6th and 7th day of the water one, you know, and I always keep a glass of water by my bedside, and I was always reaching for it. And then, oh, yeah. So, but the 3-day fast that we went on was horrendous for me. I was hungry the entire time. You know, it's so different. You know, it's different for everybody. You know, God knows what you need to do to get rid of your flesh, and he either makes you hungry or makes you thirsty or the opposite way with your 4-day fast, my 3-day fast, just the opposite, you know. So God knows, you know, he knows. And that's the thing. He wants us to be faithful and just do what we can do.
Yeah. I have noticed I had to deal with some headaches, so, but it's especially drinking coffee. But this time, yeah. I had to lay down a little more.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I got energy still. I'm not struggling. I could do things, I can get up and go. I'm not feeling like I'm having to push myself.
Right. Well, Sue, one of the girls that attends here, she was having headaches. Oh, she was on Tuesday night. Remember, she has had headaches and her stomach was upset. And this is on the 3-day fast. So she had had some coffee for the week between them. And, so she was experiencing the same thing.
I'm up at 3:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the first thing I'm reaching for is some coffee for the first couple hours,
I switched to decaf, so it's not so severe on me.
After I retire, I'll do that.
Absolutely.
How about you, Andrew? How'd it go for you here?
Well, I misread the thing, and I only went on a water fast, like just no food fast, and no drink. So I misread it, and I think it was around the 6th day when I was on this water, the fast of just food, that I sort of thought about it and said, what if they meant no water too? Because I thought it was just no Coke or drinks, juices and teas and stuff. After it all, I did a trial run of a fast with no water and food for a day. And I was just I'm just gonna wonder what the Lord wants me to do now, because when he said no drink, if waterless was put there, I don't know what would have happened, if I would have went on it or not, because I've never did it without water. And when we did that first pass there, I remember it said that in that writing, when we had the 40-day one there, it never dawned on me at all. And that's what I was thinking. I was going, well, how come this would not dawn on me that he would want no liquids, no waterless, but it was around the 6th day where I questioned into my just no food fast, just water, and I asked him about that, and of course I followed the not dressing and lively clothing, and still had to go to work, and it was like a very long fast of food for me, and I prayed very earnestly for the things, and but I do have these questions down here, whether or not the Lord would have honored this fast, even though I found out later that I did it wrong. Like the first Tuesday when we came back, like I said, the 6th day I was going, well, maybe it was a waterless fast, And on the Tuesday when we went into the conference call after, I was wondering, because I did mention it there that I drank water the whole 7 days. And then afterwards, I did that one day without water and food again. So, and now I'm going to question the Lord about this. I did have a dream, though. So
okay.
Yeah. Okay. In between all this, you know, I had a dream. It's kind of weird because I never had a cell phone, but I dreamt about a cell phone, and I just recently had to go get a cell phone. This is my first cell phone. And in this dream, there was some sort of weird app on the cell phone that would just show a person's mouth, and you could make it smile and make it sad. And I was kind of playing with it, sitting in a house somewhere, with my back against the window. And I was kind of laughing at this thing. I was preoccupied with it. And then suddenly I felt my shoulder move forward like this. And I turned the phone to a side, and it turned into a mirror. And there was a sniper there, and he shot me in the back. And then I've had this amazing relief in my head, and it was all pressure and everything came off of me, and I thanked Jesus at that point. And when I turned the phone and it turned into a little hand mirror, I saw the guy behind me who shot me, and so I forgave him. I fell off the chair that I was on, and at the same time, I stood up and I saw myself out of the corner of my eye on the floor there. And I still had that elated feeling through the whole thing, really happy that this finally happened. So I don't know what that dream is about, because lately I haven't been sleeping very well for a long time, and I haven't had dreams in a long time. So that's my ordeal. I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, Andrew, as long as you're seeking the Lord, He'll let you know.
He'll yeah, you know. Well, from what you said now, you know, I still don't know, like. I'm going to have to hope He gives me a dream, or I don't know, a verse or something, because it's, He doesn't really speak very audibly to me. You know, I've only heard like a few words here and there at times, but nothing real in great detail.
Yeah.
But, I mostly hear from Him when I study the Word and I read, and He gives me other references to where to go to see what I just read about and say, hey, that's like that verse over there, and kind of like to remind me of the things that He's teaching me so that I could do them.
Yeah, I do want to say this. Leon, let me get to this, and then I'll let you say what you got to say. I'm not trying to put anybody under the law. It's up to you to figure out what God wants you to do. You know, I can't tell you what to do. I'll just put out there what God said and what He's doing here. And He's doing exactly what He said in the Word that He gave us. So it's up to each individual to find out from the Lord Himself what God wants you to do. But please don't put yourself under condemnation. Until you seek the Lord and find out what He wants you to do. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I just wanted to say, please don't be condemned.
Yeah.
Not be condemned. This is not what it's about. This is the 3-day fast that we just finished. It was for the people who didn't do it right. So God is giving mercy because of the fast that we did. We did it for you, you know, for everybody. We did it for you guys. For the people here, for the people on the conference call, for the people in the greater UBM that I don't even know. We did it for everybody. And God said if we would do this, that He would give mercy. So please, He's given you mercy. So, you know, like Michael is saying, just seek him on it and find out what he wants you to do now. He's a merciful God, a gracious God, and he's not condemning anybody. He's not. He doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants you to do what he wants you to do, and he's giving you another chance to do it. So,
one thing. Let me say this, Andrew. What you did was not willful disobedience. It was just you didn't know at the time. I don't know whether it was because you skipped that part or what happened. It didn't make any difference. But if you didn't know, that's not willful disobedience. But I would go back and seek the Lord, find out what he wants you to do. You know, no big deal. Ain't no big deal. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I even had to call Michael and find out what was going on because I got the email. I don't always stay on top of every little thing. I think I got the email a day or so later when I read through it and called Mike, find out what was going on. And then I started my fast a day late. But even now, you know, I was talking to the Lord about this stuff because, you know, and he gave me Romans 10:2 and it goes through 4. It says, and this is before Andrew started talking, actually. It says, for I bear witness of them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. But then, here it is. For Christ is the end of the law under the righteousness for everyone that believeth. So we want, you know, we got a perfect God, and he's going to demand things be done this way. This is the Father. And he's going to be very succinct. But then we can't forget that Jesus Christ came in and put an end to the law to make us righteous. So we're not putting this in a righteous, unrighteous setting. It's not the point. That's not where we're going here. Because that price was paid by Christ. If we try to do it outside of that, we're not going to be righteous with God. So we got to stay in the righteousness of Christ.
The only thing that you have to understand is that it's people who said, well, I just can't do this when God says you can do it. And then went ahead and did not do the fast like he said. And like Leon was talking about, we fasted and prayed for the people who did not do it right, that God would have mercy upon them if they came back and repented and go ahead and do it like he wants you to do it. And like we said, that's seeking God. He may not want you to do it again. You know, he might just want, well, okay, Andrew, that's fine. I don't know. You know, that's not my business. The business is between you and the Lord. I like Leon said, we're not trying to put anybody under condemnation. I'm not. That's not the intent of it. The intent of it is to seek the Lord and find out for yourself where you are.
One of the things I was going through in this fast and all the way through this stuff was to make sure it's not being under, going under the eyes of legalism.
Yeah.
This is not legalism. We don't want to get there because that takes us out of all the grace. And that's one of the things he would point out to me really quick. Hey, are you trying to do this for the law? Are you trying to fulfill the law? Are you trying to be legalistic with me now? Because I was struggling, and I was saying, because I was trying to making sure my heart wasn't. Because you get in those mindsets sometimes, and lost. The Lord will be quick to correct. You're not going under the law, are you? Because I'm not doing this for the law. And it's like, well,
you got to take the AW off and put the IFE in, and or the OVE.
I don't spell, but I'm going
to. What about the FBI and the CIA?
Yeah, write it out. I'll write that down so I can see. But yeah.
She lost me too, Dave. Don't feel bad.
You know, right. Whenever anyone mentions the word condemnation, I always think of Romans 8:1-2.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. That's a good one.
But, you know, sometimes you just need to be refilled with this Holy Spirit to lead you more. Because, there's been a few things, like I've had problems with my phone service. And that's why I had to get this phone, and my daughter helped me get it. So that was good. And there's still, the strike is still on, and you know, I'm still going to work. I'm honoring the Lord because
they've got a strike going on.
Yeah, the strike's been going on now for 10 days, I think, and I crossed the line, and because you can't be a striker, it even says it. I think it's Timothy and Titus. So I know it says that they're about someone who was in the office in the fivefold ministry, but if they can't rebel in that sort of way, you know, they would be teaching that also to the people. So I have to honor that word. And Paul.
I agree with that. Amen.
I'll just seek the Lord on this. I made some notes here and some prayers here, so that's what I'll do.
Well, we'll be praying for you.
It's a wonderful thing to obey the Almighty God, to reverence Him, and that's what I want. You know, I'd like to be a little bit more frank on what I have to put up with in my family. That they're all Roman Catholic. They're staunch Roman Catholic. They know I've taken a stand against that, but not in a mean way, even though there's quite a bit of criticism in our family. And I have a brother-in-law. He's one of those Masons, third-degree Mason, I think. And I don't really know too much about that. He seems like a pretty okay guy. He actually even has a Bible and reads it. He has his other stuff, too. And he married my older sister. And she's always hinting on being Roman Catholic. And I have a brother that I've met maybe five times in my life. He was mentally insane. He had a problem, and the government took them and put them in asylums. So I wasn't born when he went into that. And I have a sister. She was born physically handicapped, but she's a real nice person. And she just went through some cancer, and you know, she lost all her hair there for a while, and it grew back. But you know, she's physically handicapped from in both hands. She was born that way. And I have another, another brother too, and he's one of those charismatics, and they've had access to several things like Billy Graham and things like that, all the different denominations that I've been through. They went to Christian Reform, then they went to Pentecostal, and they came to a Church of God that I was in too. And for somehow after all that, I went to an independent Baptist place. It's because of some of the confusion that I was noticing. And I didn't have anywhere to go till the Lord led me here to UVM through a friend of mine, but he's passed away. His name was Dave, and he was a twin. His brother's Danny, and I sometimes see him because he works at my workplace, but a real friendship didn't develop there because David was the one who worked in the actual place I was at. And I bothered him forever because he was the one who witnessed to me with 101 questions about everything. Some of the answers he gave were wrong. And but he actually found this at UBM and told me to check it out. And that was just a few months before he passed away from cancer. And that's how I came to be here. Ever since that time, and I was really green and naive with all people, but I was a real boisterous person, real bold for the type of salvation I had, you know, and to the point where people would just get so angry with me. Well, finally it settled down in me, and you know, I actually gave my son a good talking and one of my sheets of paper there that I prayed over to show him who he was, you know, 7 verses there. And lately I've been forgetting things, forgetting scriptures and trying to remember them. And, I don't know why. So there is one constant problem I have, and I've been fighting against this for quite a while, is I have a massive amount of DVDs and movies, VHS, but I try to hold it down to maybe, lately it's been 2 hours a week. And I used to have quite a bit of discs, music. I didn't like music when I was a teenager, and then everyone else was listening. So I threw all those discs out, and I have maybe 3 left. But, you know, I can see all the movies right now in the bookshelves here. There's enough probably to watch a different movie every day for maybe a year and a half. But, you know, it's not that much of a problem. I don't know what a regular kind of lifestyle it is to be. I wish that sometimes I could have visited Tennessee and see the day-to-day life of Michael Hare or David Eales, just to see what they do, you know. And so I usually come home from work. I've been slacking a little bit, but I try to study every night when I come home from work, or I listen to Sovereign God a lot on the, when they have all the space and the stars there, and sometimes read along with it. And I read the books that we studied, and you know, kind of study them. And I keep going through the Bible, the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, and then back again. I don't know what cycle I'm in now. Anyways, that's what it's been like for me. I really, on a good day, I'd come home from work, and I'd make some dinner and study till we go to bed, or you know, come on here. And on the weekend, I wake up and maybe go sometimes to 12 o'clock on Saturday, from 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes even beyond to maybe 2:30 since I woke up. And just reading and trying to get this stuff in my heart to have it there. I have a lot of notes here, but if paper goes to heaven, I got lots of paper that's going to heaven with all these scripture verses on it. But, you know, I don't have any stones, though, where it's engraved. or maybe I do, because there's a little cross here with "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I bought that one. I don't think that's going to heaven, though. But you never know what could be up there as a facsimile of that. But I want this word in here, and it's got to be alive in there, and it's got to function in me. It's got to do what it needs to do. I really enjoy this fellowship here. You learn a lot. I'm always a quiet person, but you can just learn a lot by the way you guys talk. And I actually even enjoyed some of the, just the small talk too. Because, you know, you're around people and at work and stuff, and they don't even speak the same when they're having small talk. So I know the Lord blesses the people here. And I had some really nice times there with especially that day when it was raining there, and he stopped the rain for me, and it was like the whole trip to the store and back. And the time when I was at the bus stop there, and I was going, why do these buses keep going by, you know? And then the Lord really does what's on your mind. One of the guys stops that's at a service and says, I'm going just as far as the mall, and then that's it. Whoever wants on, come on on. And I said, how did he know? And so I went on there, and that was kind of neat that the Lord actually knows what goes on in your mind at all times. And if he knows that, then he knows everything that's going on in a person's mind. And, you know, I would really like for someone in my family to really understand their salvation. I've been praying for them, and actually got a phone call today from my sister-in-law, married my older brother. He's 13 years older than me. And she said, I found what you like, the Smucker's pineapple jam. I'm going to have to come over. And I prayed about that. I said, well, anyone who comes over here, who I've prayed for one of these papers to get, I'm going to have to discuss it with them a bit and give it to them so that they can at least understand their salvation and their new life that they attained through Christ. I'm just a simple guy, and that's all I want them to know. And if they find that out, then hopefully the faith will ring in, and they'll go after the Lord gung ho, and hopefully they'll have a lot less time finding a place where there's good brethren and a body of Christ that we have here. And I love y'all. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Andrew, have you ever prayed for your sister that has a problem with her hand? I mean, did you ever lay hands on her and pray for healing?
No, I haven't really ever done that. But she sometimes even has a boldness that would come out and say, I believe God can do this, but then, you know, there's words there too where it doesn't sound like belief too.
Well, I felt in my spirit when you were talking about her that you should seek the Lord and ask him if you should do that, and because that would be a witness to your whole family that you have something that they don't have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
May draw them to what you have, because you have something that they don't, and it's God. You know the true God, and they may be drawn to you because of that. So, you know, I like I'm saying, I'm not trying to put you in under anything, but seek the Lord about that. Ask him if you should do that. And he'll tell you if you should do it. And by faith, just
something has to be done anyway. So,
yeah.
And to be in service to him would be wonderful, to actually go out and do these kind of things.
Yes, it would.
And to be led by the Lord in this way, and to manifest it, and to have a person come to the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, there would be those 101 questions. Too. I'm not saying that they're not rebellious, some of the people, like my sister, my older sister is. I have three brothers and two sisters. So the other one recently, he used to live in a city far away called Smith Falls. but they actually moved them back to the city of their birth, and they live in houses around the for the mentally insane. And he would be probably in his 60s now. I wouldn't even know what he looks like. Anyways, he's here. I don't have access to a vehicle or anything. My daughter has a vehicle, so. Anyway.
Just hopefully they will come on.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. Can I jump in there and share something?
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. Now, I feel for you, Andrew. I'm kind of surrounded. I'm circled by about a half dozen Baptist churches. So, you know, taking their faith seriously is something that's, you know, real struggle for us to try to get them to, you know, look into more than just the, let's say, the Romans Road, you know. They got that Romans Road in their pocket and they're running with it. You know, and it's hard to get them to take that seriously. But, you know, something happened to me this morning that's really interesting. I was counseling somebody on the phone, and somebody started to ring in from a number I didn't recognize. And I told him, you know, we were done. So I said, let me go ahead and end this and take this other call. And here it was a sister that I hadn't run into in quite a while. She's in an apostate situation where she left her first husband and got into a marital affair, you know, extramarital affair. And anyhow, can everybody hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Anyhow, she, I didn't recognize her at first, but because I hadn't talked to her in years, but we ended up realizing that we both knew each other from way back. And anyhow, I said, you know, this don't happen by coincidence. I said, because the Lord had you, because I had been on the phone for over half an hour in that counseling session. And I said, there's no way I called you, because she said to me, she says, well, you called me from this number. And I said, no, ma'am, I haven't called anybody from that number. And, you know, because I've been on the phone for the last half hour. And she said, oh, okay. Then we realized who each other were. And here I got a really interesting chance to share some depth of the word. And she's, of course, a Baptist, an apostate dad. I mean, because she's in a mess and in a marital affair. But she offered to give me her email, and then I sent her my website, and especially because all the churches around here teach that pre-trib rapture. And I got a teaching on there that refutes that pretty clearly. But it just went really well, and I'm just praying and believing, and I'm asking you guys to believe with me that maybe that's an inroad. Because that's how it happens. The Lord just gives you an inroad, and you can run with it. So it's just that's all I have to say, and thanks for any prayers you can offer to the Lord over this situation. And we'll just be believing, just like you, Andrew, that we'll be making some inroads, because when the man-child comes out, he's going to come out with some latter rain outpouring, and it's going to be powerful.
Amen. Go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead. I'm done, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just to elaborate a little bit more on what you said, the ones that we've been praying for, the man-child's going to bring them in. He's going to help us bring them in. I believe that. I believe our family members are going to come in because of our prayers and stuff. So if you're praying for them, they're coming in.
Amen. And collectively, we're believing and standing with each other on that.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hi. I really enjoyed, Andrew, what you were saying there about your background and family and situation, and it's pretty neat to, you know, to hear how other folks are doing. And I was thinking back to the 7-day fast. I remember I got the email, and I guess not everybody checks their email every day or every few days, but anyway, I happened to see it that Sunday night is when I got it. And but I didn't get to, Andrew, I didn't get the not drinking water, because it didn't say that explicitly. But I was studying it over, and I kept reading it, and there's so many, it's almost direct quotations from Isaiah 26 and Psalms 9 and 149 and a number of other places in Scripture. And of course, it came, as you know, in King James English. And I've never really understood completely what does anointing mean, or not anointing yourself. So I went back through Scripture and looked at the different places where anointing was mentioned. And when people fasted, they would wash themselves and then anoint themselves. And of course, anointing means fat. That's what it means. But or oil. So anyway, I was kind of trying to get back into, you know, the places where these phrases came from, and this word that you've got, and trying to go from there. It, of course, you know, the cultures back there were so different. But what was new was colorful clothing. Of course, ornaments harkens back to, you know, Exodus 33. And other places where, you know, when ornaments were taken off, the Lord asked them to take off ornaments. It was because he was trying to decide what to do with them, with the people, not what to do with the ornaments. But I was thinking, you know, I've thought about this whole thing afterwards, and it seems like the Lord worded it in such a way that it kind of gave people room to study and try to figure out what he meant, because it wasn't like, you shall not drink water, or you shall not. You know, it was not like really specific, and like anointing, I looked that up and I couldn't find anywhere in Scripture where it was associated with taking a bath or general hygiene. Although it sounds like some people did project it into that part of their lives, but I don't know. I think it was the Lord when he says something and he leaves some room there for understanding. That he does that intentionally. I mean, he could have been very specific in that word, but in some cases he kind of left it, you know, for you to try to figure out. So, by the way, I looked up. I couldn't find any. I've never found any reference anywhere in Scripture where the Lord commanded somebody not to drink water. And I kept looking for that. Now there was a place where Esther told the people not to eat or drink. But I studied with some other folks into that drink, and that even that doesn't refer to water, at least in the way the Hebrew is used, that Hebrew word there. So,
let me ask a question ahead. Here. When it says, "You shall eat no food nor drink any drink," what does that mean?
Well, if it's in our culture,
that's the only way. That's the only language we know. We don't know Hebrew. We don't know King.
But all of it came from Hebrew.
Do what?
all these phrases came from the Bible. Came from the Old Testament. So yeah, but, you know, like yeah. David says so many times, you know, what has been shall be, and there's no new thing under the sun. So I always look for a precedent. You know, is there a precedent for what's being commanded? So, since I couldn't find a precedent for the water thing, I finally decided, well, but the Lord can still do a new thing. It doesn't mean he can't command, you know, he can't command me not to jump over my solar panels, because he can. So there's always a first. And there can be. We don't have to be stuck to the way it was. You know what I'm saying? But I was just reminded of, you know, when I was thinking about all this, I forget, it was some situation, I forget what I was thinking about, but anyway. So Michael, you were saying any drink. I when I read that, I didn't get the water thing out of the any drink.
Well, I when I read it, I said, okay, don't drink anything. Any drink means nothing, right? Any drink. That's the way I took it. Now, yeah. I didn't go back and look at the Hebrew to try to find a way out of it. I'm not saying
I wasn't. No, I wasn't really trying to find a way out of it because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I understand. I did, because the anointing thing, I really had to search the anointing thing because I had associated anointing with you know, because I listen to the Psalms all the time. There's a lot of talking about in 19 and Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and a lot of it has to do with David's, you know, situations where, you know, he would anoint himself or not anoint himself. So right. I tried to search that out for myself because I'm not there. If I'm not there, I can't hear all, well, this means this, this means that, this means the other thing. I'm not in on those conversations you guys have there. So.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
But no, I didn't drink water, but that's just because I thought, well, I better play it safe. But I was never really sure. So.
I don't. Yeah, anyway, what you did, that's fine. No drink, any drink to me is just don't drink nothing. But I don't get into
The Hebrew. The colorful clothing thing, well, I thought, well, all I can think of is maybe I might have a shirt from Hawaii, but I have no idea where it is. So I thought, well, for colorful, maybe I ought to put on my suit and tie and all that stuff, you know. But there was nobody to show off to. I mean, I'm just by myself here, so.
Well, if you're like me, you don't have but one colorful shirt, and that's the Hawaiian shirt. That's it.
I don't know where it is. My wife may have gotten rid of it years ago.
Well, the only reason I got one is because the ladies got together. I'm always talking about the Hawaiian weather here, and I've got four of them in there now. They keep buying them for me. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just going to say that that second email that was sent out after that had a lot of clarification in it. You'd have had to read the second email that clarified what was being said, because other people had the same questions. Does that include water or just other drinks? Or what's the 3 days and what's the 4 days? What's the 3 days and what's the 7 days? We don't know what that means, you know? So there was a second email sent out that clarified, I believe, all of those questions. So I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but it was sent out.
Yeah, it was sent out on the e-list.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was what I liked. What was good was what I really wanted to do was just kind of be in the spirit of it and try to understand it as best I can and be in the spirit of what I was understanding. And I have to say, it was very shocking. And I thought, wow, this is a serious situation here. We need to deal with it with the Lord, and I think that was good to tremble before the Lord. And of course, I was reading Psalms 149 and Psalms 9 and 26 over and over and over, and trying to study around those areas and see what the Lord had in mind. Anyway, it was, but I think it's. I think what's good about this exercise is that part of it, I think, is buying off on Eve, that what the Lord is really truly speaking through Eve. I mean, I don't know her. I've never met her. And I think that's part of the thing, that the Lord just puts something out there like that, and then he kind of watches and sees how, not that he has, like you said, Michael, a big stick, but he's kind of, you know, watching the fallout, watching what happens, watching how people deal with stuff, and you know, a lot of us come from backgrounds where we have been hoodwinked, and we followed things thinking that everything was cool when actually it wasn't, and there was some hanky panky going on, and you know, I think it's important to test the spirits, and have discerning of spirits, and being careful not to, because there's a huge tendency among us humans. I guess that's all the people we're talking about here. Is there's a tendency to not be like the Bereans and not really check things out. So I think it's good to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and be obedient all at the same time. How's that work?
Yeah, amen. I agree wholeheartedly. I believe, like Leon said, I was sitting and I forgot about those. Actually, there was quite a number of emails that went out after that initial shocker that we got, as Michael called, and it was a shocker. But you know, I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I went through the whole 10 days, actually. And I learned a lot. And I believe the Lord is going to bless the people that obey his word. And we'll just leave it at that. You know, if like we said before, if there was any question, I'd just seek the Lord. That's all I'd do, you know. God's not sitting. He ain't ready to knock us all out. He just wants us to obey. What is all that noise? Okay.
I think Megan has something to say.
Do you have something, Megan?
Yeah, I need prayer for fasting.
Okay.
I went liquid fast for 5 days.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you that you're going to place it in Megan's heart to go ahead and do whatever it is that you want her to do. Lord, and I ask that you make it known to her. And if she wants to do the full fast, Lord, I ask that you give her supernatural moisture in her body and supernatural energy to carry it through in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're not trying to make anything legalistic here. We just want obedience. She wants to be obedient, Lord. And I just ask that you place it in her heart to do whatever it is that she needs to do to please you, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. What do you think, Megan?
Amen. But
amen.
I had an issue with my mom. She's a medical profession.
Yeah.
So the liquid fast, she lost me stop for few days because she afraid, fear that my organs would fail or anything. But I want to do it again, but it seems that she might take action. She thinks that I'm brainwashed.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's just pray, okay?
Okay.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that Megan's mother has favor with Megan to do whatever God wants her to do. And, Lord, we thank you that any walls that are up there, any kind of faction that may be in her mother, Lord, we bind it up and cast it out in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you that Megan's going to be able to be free to do whatever it is that you want her to do, Lord. And Lord, you're not going to make her do anything that's going to hurt her in any way. And Father, I thank you that you're going to support her, and you're going to make a way for her to do whatever it is that you want her to do, Father. And I thank you for that, that nothing's going to stop her from doing whatever it is that you want her to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you can do that. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
So what we do, we just go ahead. If the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And then we don't worry about the consequences. We just do it. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I was going to tell Megan that you have many witnesses right here that have done that without any ill effects.
Yeah.
You know, and if your mother wants to come on and ask us questions, that would be fine.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
She can check it out, check us out through through your computer system, and you know, and we'll tell her what we experienced. You know, and I'm not saying you want to just go and tell her that, but if she if she comes against you, say, well, look, I know all these people that did it and it worked out fine for them. Why would it affect me so bad? you know? So.
Yeah.
You can always use us.
You can always email in, too, on the UBM website. And they can give you some numbers, and you can have some actual people to talk to, or if your mom needs to hear some actual people with a phone, yeah. It could be arranged so that there's not going to be any. Do you live with your mom?
Yes, I live with her.
Okay.
Did you have a question there, Megan? It sounded like you wanted to ask some.
Yeah, it was a prayer, but Lord will open her eyes because she went to the site about several years ago and was searching before was come born again, and she didn't like it. So I don't know.
Okay, is she Baptist?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we lift up Megan's mother to you. Lord, we ask that you take those blinders off. Matter of fact, we just command those blinders off of her. And Father, we thank you that you're going to be able to, Megan's going to be able to talk to her about the truth of the gospel, the real gospel, and not that sinner saved by grace garbage that they got in the Baptist church and that tribulation, pre-tribulation rapture garbage. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Megan's been praying for her mama. We know that she's going to be one of those that comes out of that dead religion here in just a little bit. And Father, we praise you for it. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of people, when that ground starts shaking, and they're not raptured out of here, they're going to come running to those they know that's got the truth. And I believe a lot of them are going to come out at that time. And I don't, you know, we're praying for your mama to come out sooner. And just look for it, look for an opening, and be ready to give the gospel to her, the real, true gospel, about repent and believe. Not just ask Jesus in your heart, but to repent and believe. And believe means to believe what the Word of God says. And so that's what we do. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Megan. We're gonna believe with you, girl.
I got a question.
Okay.
Megan, did you you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I always thought about water baptism, but my mom is threatening to call the authorities. I think I have a phone number for Michael last year. I didn't get the chance to call that person.
All right. So would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight?
Yeah. I did call the Ronella Ministry to do so, but I don't know. I guess I have to do it again.
Who'd you call?
Andrew Womack Ministry. Do you remember?
Oh, okay.
New York.
No, I've heard of him. I don't know much about him. I've heard of him. But yeah, you can. We've had people get baptized in the Holy Spirit right here on the conference call before. So, yeah, if you want to.
Many times.
Yeah.
So, would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight, Megan?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. We know that's what we're all here for. We're going to share the baptism of the Holy Spirit with you tonight. You're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You're also going to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. And this is going to sanctify you and set you apart. It's going to make you be able to walk the walk you've always wanted to walk in the Lord. Dear Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together, bringing Megan to us, allowing us to share the gospel and share your truth. Father, tonight, we're coming together again as brothers and sisters, and we're going to share the baptism of the Holy Spirit with Megan. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit fill Megan now. We ask that she come the Holy Spirit come into her and fill her and bring her soul in union with hers. We ask this by the gospel that was promised to us, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we do this as believers together. We can do this. And we know that we have this authority in Jesus, that you've given us this power. Thank you, Father. And right now we're all going to unmute. We're going to pray in tongues over you right now, Megan.
Okay.
Megan, just one little quick thing here. This tongues thing is not something that is going to just automatically come out. It should, but it's you have to speak it yourself. And when you speak, and we're praising God for you, we're praising God that this is happening to you. You have received it, and you just start speaking that thing that comes bubbling up out of your inside. It ain't nothing that the Holy Spirit's going to force on you, but you have to speak it yourself, okay? You understand?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, praise God.
We're going to speak in tongues over you now. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Megan, you start praising the Lord in that language that he's giving you, because he's giving it to you. Okay? Just start praising.
Wamba from Wamba attended it. Wamba yeti yeti kiti to a take it. Yeti,
Megan, you have to open your mouth and speak it. It's not going to come on you. Yeah, there you go. Just start speaking it. Koriella la kata somba da 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 da. Let it come.
In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, Megan, now that you have it, now what you do with it from now on is you get in this prayer closet and you start speaking it, and it's the overcoming power that God has given you. He's filled you up with his Holy Spirit, and this tongues is there's the heavenly language that he's given you to speak to God through your spirit, and you utilize it to. It builds your faith up inside of you, and it also gives you that overcoming power that God wants you to have. Amen?
Hey, one thing I want to say about tongues, it's not something you think about. It's not you actually, you're just listening to it come out. You're just allowing it to come out. It's a language that comes out of you. It's not no thought process. You can be thinking about something while you're doing it, or thinking about some kind of prayer or what you want intercession for God, but this language is just going to roll out, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, praying through you.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving her the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's your dunamis power from on high that gives us the power to walk this walk that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, from this point on. She's going to be a powerful witness to his mama in Jesus' name. She's going to be a light in that household in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you that you have given her the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that Pearl's got up over there. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, Megan. You believe it, girl?
Okay.
All right. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel good. I don't know about you, but I sure feel good. Thank you, Jesus.
I feel good, too.
Amen. We'll feel good together. That's good. Praise thank God. You. Yes. Thank the Lord. That's him. I couldn't do nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. All right. We love you, girl. All right.
Hey, I love what you just did. You borrowed Pearl's sign.
I can do that. I can do that.
I agree. I thought it was
Pearl going to put it up. Pearl going to put it up. I'm going to utilize it. Ain't that right, Pearl?
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate it too, Pearl. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you too, Megan. Pearl, where you live?
I stay in North Carolina.
Where?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Yeah. Okay. And Megan down in Texas.
Oh, wow. And
I'm in Tennessee. Joe's in somewhere over across the pond. Over in South Africa.
Are you in Knoxville, Tennessee, or are you in Nashville or Memphis?
We're somewhere in between. We're I don't like to give it out on the internet, but we're in East Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Pearl's close enough to come to the pot blessing.
Oh, absolutely she is. Yeah. That'd be great, girl, in North Carolina. We got people from North Carolina coming up here, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Krista. Yeah. Is Chris on?
No, they're from Virginia.
Oh, yeah, right.
Debbie?
Pearl, why don't you contact Robin at the office there, and she'll give you directions and talk to her about that. And you can come to a hot blessing with us.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
We give free stuff to eat. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Them old gals around here can cook now. And us old those boys can eat. Do what? Hey?
Those are always on Saturdays?
Well, they're on the first Saturday of the month. Every first Saturday of the month, we have a pot blessing, unless we're fasting. But we're going to try to fast away from fasting for a little bit, try to get our strength back. So it'll be Hello? The first Saturday every month. Yeah, go ahead.
Where's the pot blessing?
That's where you got a bunch of pots full of food, and you got a bunch of fat men going around there and eating. That's what some people call it, what do they call it in a regular church?
Potluck.
Potluck.
There's no marijuana, and there's no luck.
Amen. That's true. Now, what we do is everybody brings a dish from each family, and for the people who come and visit, that's our visit time most of the time, and we have everything. I mean, anywhere from gumbo to fried chicken and dumplings, and I don't know, just a little bit of everything.
Cakes, frog
legs, and possum mellies, and I don't know, you know, good stuff. Some bologna, fried bologna. I'm just kidding now.
We have everything.
We do. We got a little bit of everything. A lot of cakes and pies. It's enough for everybody to eat a good meal. And then we have service first, and then we have the pot blessing and fellowship afterwards. And it's really generally, and we're coming up into the time where sometimes we'll have it outside. A lot of times we'll have it outside during the summertime. And it's really nice. Let the kids play. It's good. Y'all think about coming up here and seeing us, Megan, you and Pearl, and everybody else, as far as that goes. Malcolm, have you ever been up here? I don't believe I've seen you up here, have I? He's out there sweeping the porch or something. Yeah, I'd love to see everybody come at least once and spend a few days with us. Jackie's been here. Rob's been here. Barbara's been here. Leo's been here. Tim hadn't, but he's coming. I know he's coming. Willie hadn't, but I know he's coming too. Dave hadn't. He's coming. I believe Andrew's going to be moving down here. I don't know why, but I just believe he's going to be moving down here for some point in time. God's going to say, boy, get your stuff and get on down there. I want to see Willie come down here and bring that wooden sax with him. Glory to God, man, we'll have us a jam session like you ain't never seen before. I'm telling you. Hey, we got some guys that can play an axe now, I'm going to tell you. And the drums, we can get on down with some good gospel song. We do. We have a good time. A lot of people don't dance before the Lord. We dance before the Lord. We have a good time. Okay. Any more questions or answers? I want to hear some answers. That's what I want. Yeah, Tim.
I was just gonna kind of shift gears back towards Andrew and then after Megan had her input too, maybe for her. Years ago, and David's teaching quite often, he'd bring up Pilgrim's Progress as reading material, good information, and it kind of occurred to me that Andrew, maybe I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but it's a good faith builder for you and it includes, if I remember right, your family. You know, even though they seem like they're lost in the book, this family joined in with him and you know, was saved as well. And it was real edifying for me when I read it. And in fact, it's kind of on my to-do list again to read it again. But I would recommend that if you haven't read it yet, or if it's been a long time, maybe reading it again, because it's a real good read.
That's the one by John Bunyan?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real good one. I like it too. Also, Shepherd of Hermas. That's another good one. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe David did a study one time on the Shepherd of Hermas, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he did. I like that. I always liked that Pilgrim's Progress book too. Was that the one with Christian in it? Yeah. It's been a long time since I've read it, but I remember reading it and it was good. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about here? We got just a few minutes left. Leo, you doing okay, buddy? You getting ready to get moved?
I was about to just come on and say I've got a praise report.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm actually down in Missouri right now. Last 3 weeks, I was moving from Alaska, and it's been a real crazy time. I've kind of been missing in action, but we moved our stuff safely. The Lord provided me with a nice big old semi truck, picked us up and moved us. I just got to go back up there here on the 26th, pick up my family, and we're gonna all fly down on the April 8th for a permanent stay here in Missouri. So everything's coming together really, really nicely. Just amazing. The Lord's just really orchestrating everything perfectly. I do ask that you guys lift us up in prayer for my son, Josiah. I know, you know, I keep telling everybody he's healed and he is, but, we're still, well, you know, it's still a real trial of our faith. Lately he's just, he's been having a real hard time. A lot of screaming, a lot of pain. He's just throwing up food nonstop. He doesn't eat. It's been a real, real tough time. And my wife is up there with him by herself. I'm down here trying to get things set up for us to move. And so she needs a little uplifting, and if you could pray for us there.
Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Josiah to you.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that your angels are up there now calming that young child down, that baby down. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that your touch upon Josiah right now, that it would give his mama from the rest of the time that they're up there, that she has rest every night, that he sleeps all night long. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon this family. Lord, they've been through a tough trial. But Father, we know that you're a gracious God. And we thank you, Father, that Josiah is healed. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him through your grace and your mercy upon Josiah that Leo's wife is going to have great sleeping time between now and the time that they move back here, move to Missouri. Lord, we praise you for it. Not only that, when they move to Missouri, they're going to see a change in Josiah. I believe that, Lord. I believe you already started a change in him. I command those demons that are tormenting him right now, I bind you up and cast you off of him in the name of Jesus. I command that pain to leave him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for quietening down his body right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for helping that young man. I thank you, Lord, for healing that young child in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for getting all the torments off of him in the name of Jesus. Lord, that child don't need to go through that. And I ask and I pray your mercy upon him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it right now in Jesus' name. We declare and decree it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that Josiah, you're healed in Jesus' name. Father, we just praise you for it. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that everybody here that's listening to this prayer would place it in their heart to pray in the Spirit for him every day. Every day, the things that you want us to pray for him. Lord, you know that through your Spirit that we can pray those things that he needs. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that, don't you?
Amen. I do.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You know, Michael, one more thing. If I could ask that you also pray that maybe the Lord would give us understanding. You know, if there's something in our life that's hindering the work of God in this little young boy of ours and in our family, to, you know, I don't, maybe God, you know, like that one time when the Lord gave me that amazing dream of my son's healing. If you all remember that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I hold on to that every day. You know, I run that in my mind. I just tell everybody about that dream. And it's that real. If the Lord could just bless us with another dream showing us, you know, maybe there's something in our family, in our lives that is a hindrance. Mm. You know, I don't know. I want to make sure that, you know, we're right before the Lord in all things.
Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you right now that you're going to give Leo and or his wife a dream. If there's something there, and Lord, that you're going to expose it, they're going to repent of it, and come and then Josiah's going to be here. But Lord, if there's not, then all it is a trial of their faith, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that this dream is going to come. Lord, I ask this. I ask that you give them a dream. If there's something there, if there's some darkness somewhere. And if there's not, Lord, I ask you give him another dream like he had about Josiah being healed. And, Lord, I thank you for that, that it is a trial of their faith, and this trial is almost over. I believe that within my heart. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, there it is, Leo. You're going to get one or two dreams, it looks like.
I receive it. Thank you.
Amen. All right, brother. Okay, praise God. All right. Well, we're out of time. Andrew, do you mind praying for us to get out to close out? I'll tell you what, brother, I was blessed by your testimony.
Lord, we come before you again, and we ask you, Lord, to bless us with a good night's sleep, bless us with our dreams and visions. Lord, these are the days where you said you would provide for us all things. And we ask, Lord, that this would come to pass from now on, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. But glory to God. Good night, saints. God bless you. Let me unmute everybody. Okay.